All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne?
Welcome to episode 100 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Also, your 100th birthday.
What a coincidence.
That's the correlation, right?
That is the correlation. I'm surprised it timed out exactly this way. But...
well, you know, it was clever planning, taking a couple weeks off, missing an episode here or there.
Yes, and you infecting me with pneumonia.
You know, I actually got an email about 2 or 3 weeks back. Someone wanted to know if episode 19 of the show actually exists somewhere. In what? The ether.
Did we skip episode 19?
Yes.
What happened there?
I was on my honeymoon. And I called in and recorded some stuff, but it never made it anywhere past that.
We didn't do a 19?
Nope.
So is this really not 100 then?
Shh. It's 100 in our book, damn it.
We're still going to call it 100.
Damn right.
Really? 19? No 19?
I'm double-checking the website now just to make sure.
I think we should... maybe we should do 19 next week.
We should do a retro-style show.
There you go.
Yeah, that would be... that would be awesome. Fantastic. Would love that shit. 19.
Yeah, I believe it was 19.
Gotta find out what week that was. We may have to make that up at some point. Maybe at 119,
there
we could
go.
Actually do 19.
You know, but or Fantastic maybe has a 19 on the website.
He does?
He does, but I don't know what it is. I'm not going to listen to it now.
Gotta be one. It's gotta be 19.
All right. Well, if you say
Fantastic
so.
Would put up a fake episode.
Hey, we're doing a show tonight, sir.
And it's our 100th.
That's the rumor.
And the studio is filled with special guests.
All right.
Or there's two.
Or there's a couple. You know, with maybe some more coming
sure,
by.
Sure, but throughout the episode tonight, you're going to hear some more of our well-wishers congratulating us on our 100th episode.
Mr. Fantastic is here for our 100th episode.
Are you here, Fantastic?
You betcha, Kev.
Of course. There he is. Doing his catchphrase.
Well, you know, he has to break them all out.
No, I'm just saying. Well, you probably have some news that's going to require us to use a certain soundbite that everyone loves, huh?
I might. I'm saving that stuff.
We also have, do we have some special things that were sent to us, some video and some other things? Are we going to be posting those with episode 100 as well?
We will. They will be posted on the website in addition to the episode this week. So we have a nice little video tribute from our friends over at Toy Break. We have a nice little... four-panel comic strip tribute from Jimbo over at Cowman.
Yeah.
And some other stuff, too.
I like Cowman.
Cool. I like Cowman, too. I like Jimbo. He's a good guy.
He's a nice guy.
He actually wrote us into his comic.
Oh.
Unlike other comic persons
I'm smelling a
in
burn.
The room.
Maybe we should say who he is.
Yes.
I know who he is.
I know. We should say he's here. Pete Abrams from Sluggy Freelance.
That's terrible. Why would you do that to Pete?
I know. Why would I do that to Pete? That's
Thanks, guys.
That's more screwed up than what I did.
How's it going, Jamie?
I'm doing well.
It's Jamie, what's his name, from...
Hatton.
Yeah, Hatton.
Manhattan?
Sorry. Yeah, Manhattan.
Close enough.
Jamie
Hatton,
his likeness.
From In His Likeness. You probably hear from time to time our In His Likeness spot that we play here on the show.
Yeah, once in a blue moon.
I love that spot.
Do you really?
Yeah, because
that's one
I
of my favorite
ones.
That's like one of my favorite ones. Shh, don't tell people that.
Oh, sorry.
We've collected other things in trade.
That's right.
No, we've worked out a trade deal.
Other things in trade. Sexual things.
Hey, now.
So, yeah, so Jamie is here tonight. He'll be chiming in whenever. Also, we have Puppet Disaster is also in the house tonight. I understand Micubus Prime will be poking his head in and out.
That is the
and,
rumor.
And Fantastic, you're with us, of course.
You betcha, Kev.
And there he is. And maybe a few more surprise guests, or maybe not.
Maybe not.
So that's fun. And do we have any other exciting things planned for episode 100? I don't want to make such a big deal out of it.
Well, we have an episode planned, you know, with the typical news and junk.
All right, well, let's do the junk then, because God's sake.
Well, then
news.
You start.
Oh, I see. That's a little play, like, because you do news and then I do junk.
That's right.
I got you. Well, why don't you start?
Fine. Why don't we talk about, real quickly, this week's issue of Knights of the Dinner Table.
All right.
Now, I'm not bringing this up as part of the, these are the books that came out this week, because I want to separate it, because Gary Gygax is on the cover of the new issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they, what are the two brothers' names that do the illustrations for Knights Illustrated? Do you remember?
Off the top of my head, no.
Oh, what are their names?
Well, whoever it is.
Whoever it is. They did a special cover for it. The Frame Brothers, that's it. And it's it features the Untouchable Trio plus one, in addition to their DM and, well, actually, Gary Gygax is the DM on the cover.
Oh, he's all Obi-Wan glowy.
Yeah, he's all like spooky Gary. And they're playing Hackmaster, which is pretty funny.
Do they also in there, do they say who that other guy is that created D&D?
No.
The mystery other guy?
What was that guy's name again?
I think his name was John Oates.
Dave Arneson.
That, of course, Fantastic knows.
If you could hear that screaming in the background, Dave Arneson, the other guy.
I still think John Oates is funnier than the actual guy. I just think.
Well, that's what you think.
Just saying.
All right. What do you have?
I got nothing.
Seriously, you got nothing tonight?
It's my birthday. I didn't have to work.
Oh, fine. Let's talk a little bit about the Dark Knight. Dark Knight coming out in, 2 months now? I think it's June, right?
I think it's June.
That's right. Well, there's been a lot of back and forth about some of the Heath Ledger scenes in the movie.
Boy.
Of course. And apparently, Warner Brothers has confirmed that they're not going to be cutting any sequences featuring Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Now, we actually found that out kind of on the sly.
Well, the
film's producer.
But even after that, there were still some rumors that there was one particular scene. There's a scene. This is a spoiler for anybody that doesn't want to know.
Oh, wait, anything. So we should probably play this.
Attention. The following information is considered spoiler material.
And there it is, the spoiler alert. So now you know.
Wow, we're breaking them all out tonight.
I know, it's the anniversary.
Do we have 100 different ones we can use? We might.
I don't know. It's 100. Do we have 100 ones we'd want to use?
No.
So
I can think of one we could probably play 98 times. I'll piss a couple people off, including myself. But anyway, there's a scene in the film that features Heath Ledger as the Joker lying on a table in a body bag that some people thought was perhaps would be in bad taste.
Kind of foreshadowing. That's pretty bad.
But I think Warner Brothers is taking the right approach here. I don't think that they should edit anything out of the film because of the tragic situation surrounding
I agree. And let's sashay ahead into comic releases this week that we'd like to bring to your attention.
Are there any that we want to bring to your attention?
There are. There's the Final Crisis, Final Crisis Countdown to Infinite Final Crisis. Number 2, which
is that
features
the actual title?
I don't even really know what the title is anymore.
A little longer.
It's something something crisis something something or something something crisis something crisis something number.
Infinite.
Yeah, infinite, yeah. Something. The point of it is that what I found really funny about it is there is some hulked out look more like, I want to say less like the Hulk and more like the abominationed out Jimmy Olsen with Darkseid in a headlock.
Okay.
I have no idea, and I'm afraid of what it could possibly mean. So that said, that's out. Check it out. I guess next week is the big reveal, I guess. Whatever the heck the big deal is going to be. I really don't. I don't. I want to say I know. I want to fake like I know what's going to happen or what is happening. I just can't do it.
Oh, I know.
Oh, you do?
No.
Okay. Good. Because I thought for a minute that if you could fill in something there, it probably would help. But I don't think it would.
I'm not following that storyline at all, so I have no idea.
I'm slowly seeing the Dan DiDio, Joe Quesada sort of thing happening, where Dan DiDio's like, you know what? I could be a crazy megalomaniac too. I think that is what I think that's what these type of books. And then the other one is probably starting the week after that, isn't it? Trinity. That's going to be a weekly book, or actual Final Crisis, or no, seriously, Final Crisis, or whatever the hell it's going to. There's another one that's going to start. Trinity is a weekly. Pub Disaster's piping in for Trinity is a weekly. Okay, well then there it is. So let's talk about comics that aren't humongous weekly crossovers that very few people like or understand. War is Hell, the first flight of the Phantom Eagle number 2 from Marvel Max. I know it's a little difficult for you to understand that I'm promoting a Marvel book, but I am, and primarily because it is the art by one Howard Chaykin, the writing by one Garth Ennis, like penis with no P.
Wow, you're so funny.
And it's about World War I flyers type thing, and it's good.
Do they curse in it? I bet they curse at least a little. Max probably. Title, Garth Ennis, come on.
I was going to say, Garth Ennis has got to be at least like something inappropriate
say,
in there.
They do say Jesus Christ in a taking it in vain way.
Ooh, they're naughty.
Just saying. Perhapanauts, Todd and Craig's Perhapanauts.
What the hell is Perhapanauts?
It's a good name.
It is a good name.
It was a mini series about a group of, you'll never believe this, paranormal explorer type people who themselves are paranormal type explorer people. Remember, we've been talking about that book, Proof, and sure. We've also been talking about Perhapanauts, and we've also been talking about fucking BPRD since its inception, which is the group which Hellboy works in.
Right.
Perhapanauts was a miniseries, now is an ongoing series, and this is issue 1. I think I like these little paranormally, you know, books. Paranormally.
There's a lot of them out now.
There are
Umbrella Academy and
yeah.
A whole bunch.
Yeah. Well, Umbrella Academy books. Umbrella Academy is a, aren't they heroes though? It's like a little superhero book too, isn't it?
Yeah, but they, it's
written by some rock and roll guy. My Chemical Romance.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that dude's name?
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of, there's another one then.
That's a superhero-y one.
There's another one that came out. It was big. They did the free comic last year for it.
Oh, nobody knows.
All right,
everyone's grasping at
straws. I am useless.
The Lone Ranger.
Is that issue 1 of that? Or no, 3, right?
Is
two,
this
3? Something like that?
Well, this one? I think this is...
We talked about issue number 1 earlier, didn't we?
Well, we've talked about it a lot. This is issue number 11, actually,
oh,
of,
okay.
The ongoing
I didn't think it was
series.
That far.
Yes, and of course, it is... written by Brett Matthews, artists Sergio Cariello and Paul Pope, who's fantastic, really, in this. And I'm not really a fan of Paul Pope at all. And the covers and art direction being done by one John Cassaday, who I think is a really, I think he's a really good artist. I love the cover work that he does on all of these fucking issues. And I wish he was doing the interior art also, but what can you do? So that's a couple of comics to... check out this week. What was that?
I was going to say, just to jump in, it was the Vinyl Underground that I was trying to remember.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Vinyl Underground. Underground.
There you go.
Right.
All right. So images that came across the net in the last couple days that I thought we should mention on the show.
Okay.
The Hulk movie poster. Have you seen it?
Didn't see it, no. Are you going to show
all right,
it to me now?
So this poster features Bruce Banner, all small and tiny, standing... in front of a Hulk kind of facing backwards. It's akin to that. What was that issue of Spider-Man? There was a Spider-Man cover similar to that.
Issue 50.
It's Peter Parker standing in the front and Spider-Man walking away in the back. Yeah. So that's pretty much what that is.
It was John Romita Sr. did that. So.
I don't know. I still don't care a lot about this movie yet.
I care because I want to see Edward Norton play the Hulk. You know what I hear? You know what I hear rumors?
What?
Somebody named Edward Norton might be near your Comic-Con.
You know, I've heard that rumor a couple times myself.
And if this episode actually comes out before New York Comic Con.
That ain't happening.
You can check us out at New York Comic Con this weekend at the Jacob Javits Convention Center in New York City.
And if it comes out after New York Comic Con, hey, thank you for everybody that came by and said hello.
And you still have a chance to see in his likeness at Pittsburgh Comic Con in Pennsylvania.
Yes, and I got more.
All right.
Melody Anderson joining us at New York Comic Con.
The lovely Melody Anderson.
This is true. And we may have other surprise guests as well.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh,
but
damn.
I thought you
knew something I didn't know.
It's nice to tease people a little, get them interested.
Fantastic is going to be a surprise guest there on Saturday.
I'll be surprised if he actually shows up.
Oh, come on. I believe the boy.
I don't believe it.
All right.
He's like our Bigfoot.
How about we talk about the first images of Rachel Nichols as Scarlet from the upcoming G.I. Joe film?
Okay.
Meh. I mean, she's hot.
I haven't seen these either.
But
fake does she look? That's what I want.
Well,
the
image really
know.
Doesn't show a whole lot. I mean, it's her in a dark black costume, and it's not a full frontal shot. It's kind of a backward side profile. And
if you Google her, you can see some full frontal shots, I think.
Well, I'm sure you probably could, but I don't know. I'm not that impressed by it.
She could be any spy in any spy movie.
Fantastic. Does that actually look anything like what you thought Scarlet would look like in the film?
She's got red hair and a crossbow, so that's good enough. But the outfit is not green or this brownish green color like it is in the comic. It's just X-Men leather.
Wasn't her costume like yellow and gray
blue or yellow and greeny brown, right?
Yeah, something like that, right?
You run into the same problem that you ran into with X-Men and the spandex. Will that color scheme work for film? We talked about this when we talked about the Watchmen costumes and how maybe the colors wouldn't work so well, except for, what's her name, in the bright yellow outfit.
Silk Spectre.
Silk Spectre. So, I don't know. I mean, it's not far from what I anticipated because we know the movie's kind of have this kind of like
gay.
Covert military feel gay. To it. And that's kind of what that picture
gay.
Strikes up in me. Everything's gay with you.
No, not everything. Just that.
The lifestyle.
Speaking of pictures that have surfaced and have since gone away,
uh-oh.
Our friends over at action-figure.com got a hold of some pictures from the Spirit, my friend.
Now, these are new pictures?
Frank Miller. Yeah, this
because
is...
there were some pictures of Scarlett Johansson online a couple weeks back. And then
Spirit. These are actual green screen shots, like people who were taking pictures of them making the movie.
Oh.
So you see like a crew that is kind of swinging the Spirit through the air with a green screen behind them and a couple other things like that. Wow. Does it look really good?
The costume is strong.
It's black.
Okay.
It's black and the tie is red and the mask is black also. So I can understand what they're going for. I don't know how it's going to look in the end, though. Are they going to pull one of those kind of Sin City maneuvers where they drag all the color out except like highlight colors throughout? Because then there was other shots of some of the girls in gowns and things that were, you know.
Bright and shiny.
Bright and shiny, yeah. I don't think you can find those pictures, sir.
No, but there were some strong pictures online the last couple of days of just the Spirit himself that I was trying to pull up to show our friends here in studio.
In
but
studio
I can't find it.
Puppet, what do you got?
Have you seen any of the stuff for Where the Wild Things Are?
I did see, I guess was it earlier this week or maybe late last week, someone had that image of the costume in the shop somewhere, right?
Kanye West is doing his tour with some stuff by the Henson Creature Shop in L.A., and he took pictures there, and they were taken down pretty quickly. One site still has one picture up, but there's a lot of controversy with that movie anyway. Warner Brothers might be pulling it.
Why?
Shooting it. Because they think the director has gone too far and made it kind of a high art kids movie. So it's not
really this
friendly family outing. It's more like the book. Apparently everybody who's seen it loves it, but Warner Brothers isn't happy.
Yeah, well,
so there's
that's
only
typical.
A couple pictures floating around on the net. Apparently there was a video a couple weeks ago that got yanked down of an early test.
Yeah, I did hear. Yeah, I did hear something about that. But, I mean, you can understand that this is going to be mired in controversy because that people want a literal translation of the book and not the happy-go-lucky, fun family, Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat with Mike Myers version, which I don't agree with at all.
You know, I'm kind of surprised that they were so quick to pull that image down only because I thought personally that it was such a great translation of the original artwork to 3D realistic on-screen, whatever you want, puppetry, right? That why would you want to pull that down? I mean, I don't think it was it in no way revealed anything about the story. It in no way revealed anything about how it was going. It really just was, to me, was an impressive piece of puppetry. Or it are they puppets or are they costumes? It's both. Okay, so NCG. So I was really impressed by it. I'm kind of upset that they pulled it down. I hope they don't change it too much.
Well, then I always think, that's the knee-jerk reaction these days. Anything gets snuck out there, and they immediately pull it down. They don't think that it might be good promotion. They don't. But hearing that they might cancel the whole thing and redo it, now that's a good reason why they dropped those pictures.
So, Austin Powers 4.
Really?
Well, I just wanted to bring us right down to the bottom. Just crash and burn.
Well, I like those movies.
I did like those movies, but... But four?
That opening of three with Tom Cruise, and Kevin Spacey as Dr. Evil.
As Dr. Evil.
And Danny DeVito as Mini-Me, and Spielberg was there.
I don't know. Do we need another Austin Powers, though?
Why not? Do we need another anything? I mean, you could really make that argument.
I mean, I'd like to see the return of what's his name? Oz. Robot Chicken. Seth Green.
Yeah.
Whew. I was getting there. Oh, it was a slow train, but it pulled in. And of course, they're talking about who the babe is going to be in this movie, and currently the front runner is Giselle. That she was Brazilian, that supermodel. Really? Giselle Bundchen. Yeah, that one. So, whatever.
She ain't so much.
Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of happy with I was kind of okay with Heather Graham. So,
Heather Graham was very nice.
Yes, in
the second one.
Boogie Nights.
In Boogie Nights, yeah.
Yes.
Roller Girl.
All right, why don't we talk about some DVDs that came out this week that may apply to people who listen to this show.
Okay. Juno.
Juno did come out this week. Does that apply?
I think so.
I like
it. Am I the only person who hasn't seen it?
Yes.
You might be. Oh, all right. So neither of them have seen it.
In studio guest tonight, knowing Zippo about Juno.
Juno was... It was very popular, and I thought it was well acted and well performed. Jason Bateman was outstanding. Michael Cera is good. I like Michael Cera pretty much. I think no matter what I've seen him do now. Of course, Arrested Development. So the two of them,
and of course, Ellen Page nominated for Academy Award for her performance.
You mean Kitty Pryde? She'll always be Kitty Pryde to me.
Will she? She'll always be that really twisted girl in Hard Candy to me.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
See,
that's her.
That's her. So.
Yeah.
I'm going to go rent that.
Yes, Juno.
Also out this week, Aliens versus Predator, Requiem.
Yeah, I heard just banging things about this flick. I heard it was I've not seen it, but
awful
I can't,
or awesome?
No, awesome.
Yeah,
sir.
I heard it was what the first one should have been.
Absolutely.
But I didn't see it yet either.
But we will, because I'm going to Best Buy. Billy has put that aside for me. I just have to go and pick it up.
Well, isn't he a sweet... Sweet man. I think that was it. I don't think there was... Well, Lars and the Real Girl, maybe.
Sure, Lars and the Real Girl.
That was kind of a quirky comedy that came out that I really wanted to see.
Those real dolls, man, those things are crazy.
Ew.
They're crazy.
American Dad, Volume 3, if you're a fan of that show, came out this week.
I didn't even know that they did 3 volumes worth of show.
Yeah, man. I love that show. In a lot of ways, or really? In some ways, I like it better than Family Guy some weeks.
Really?
I really do.
I think I've seen 2 episodes of that show that's made me laugh aloud, and the rest of them I've been...
Really?
You know what it is, Jamie? He just likes the gay Paul Lynde alien.
I do. I like Roger. I'm not going to lie. But I like Patrick Stewart.
Someone get me a powdered donut.
I like Patrick Stewart, and I don't know. I think it's a funny show.
Eh.
Fine.
Meh.
Whatever. So there's your DVDs for the week. Why don't we talk about Ghost in the Shell? Do you know what Ghost in the Shell is?
Yes.
What is it?
It's that movie with Jeff Fahey as the retarded kid, and they put him in the machine, and he gets smart, and then he becomes part of it. Isn't Pierce Brosnan, isn't
Ghost
he the scientist?
In the Shell?
I don't even know the obscurity he's going for at this point.
Neither do I.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's Lawnmower Man.
Oh, my God,
dude. Denied.
You know, they did a sequel to that movie, Lawnmower Man 2.
Two.
Ooh. Lawnmower Harder.
Yeah. I am God here. Anyway, Lawnmower Man, popular manga by Masamune Shiro, and then became a popular anime movie, and then was followed up with two different television series, I believe. And now DreamWorks has picked it up to do a live 3D.
Yeah, I'm thinking it almost sounded like they're going to do cel shaded or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kind of odd thing with it. I don't know. It's a good property. Mm-hmm. I do like the storyline, at least of the original stuff. I didn't watch the newer TV series when they came out.
I've seen episodes of it. Fun.
Fun?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm interested to follow it. I think it's going to be better than Dragon Ball Z. Ugh. You know, as far as two film translations of movies.
I can't believe I'm forced to go see that movie.
Have you seen those pictures of James Marsters as Piccolo?
No.
Online yet?
No.
It kind of looks like a Batman suit.
Really?
Oh, it's terrible.
Did they show any pictures of Chow?
I think I had seen one picture of Chow Yun Fat. Chow Yun Fat is playing Master Roshi.
I know very little about DBZ, and I had no idea they're doing a live action translation.
Yeah.
Well, it's yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
This week also brought us the complete Peanuts dailies and Sundays, 1967 to 1968. Introduction by John Waters. John Waters. That's what I said.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought I would bring this up. This is volume 9, and they're only at fucking 67 to 68. I ain't even born yet.
Was Divine based on Marcy?
I don't know. But the point is that if you are at all a Peanuts, Charlie Brown, Snoopy, whatever you like to call it, fan, and you aren't getting these complete volumes, you are a dope, sir. Or madam, because they are absolutely exquisite library quality editions of these. Have you seen?
I have seen them.
Beautifully reprinted, and I'm telling you, man, it may be the best collection of anything ever.
Wow.
What? All right. What are you going to say? Are you going to say bone complete volume?
No.
Well,
actually, I was going to say I really was a fan of that Calvin and Hobbes complete.
Okay, sir. Collected into one volume, I agree with you. Collected a series that went for 40 fucking years.
Okay, I'm just saying.
God damn it,
man. I'm just saying. I know we did the math at one point in time. What did we say? How many volumes are they going to be
I believe
the end?
I will be 62 when they've all come out. I think. I'm not even sure. But they are committed. Fantagraphics committed to releasing every single volume.
Well, that's good.
So
what
I'm
year
excited.
Did they stop? It was
2000 and...
What year did Charles Schulz die?
No, because he stopped before that. I want to say it's probably 98, 99, somewhere. Well, whatever it was, they are committed to releasing all the strips in this format, and you would be a fool not to get it.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, fine.
On a similar note, I've been picking up the Flash Gordon, the old Flash Gordon ones that I think it's Dark Horse has been putting out.
Really? I haven't seen those.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen those either.
They're softbound. Next time I see you guys, I'll bring one with you to show you.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'd be really interested in checking that out.
I know you guys love your Flash Gordon.
Hell yes.
They pick up the serial strips, I don't know, I want to say in the 50s somewhere.
Okay.
They're gorgeous.
Wow. I got to start looking. And you think it's Dark Horse that's doing it?
I think so. I want to say Dark Horse. I could be wrong.
I'm going to have to look into those.
But I definitely... I know where you can find them if you're looking.
If I'm looking? All right. Well, that's fair enough.
I know a guy.
You know a guy who knows
a guy?
Or just the guy himself?
I got a guy.
What do you got over there, Kev?
Well, let me tell you what I have over here. Something I have been eagerly anticipating despite its creator. And that is Hellboy Volume 1. Now, this is the oversized... we're calling it... What did we say we were going to call this today? Like archive version or... Or absolute version.
Yeah, it's like the absolute version of something other than DC.
Right. Hellboy Volume 1, which covers Seed of Destruction, Wake the Devil, and I think a mountain of sketches and designs and other things from Mignola.
You just don't like that guy.
And with good reason, sir. But this is not to say that I do not like Hellboy. I am absolutely fascinated with Hellboy and the Hellboy universe. And Mr. Mignola's art on the series. If you have not read these books, this is your chance to get a library quality edition of these Hellboy stories. They're hardbound. It's kind of that clothy feel.
It looks soft.
Yeah, it's got a clothy feel, but it's a hardbound book. Retails for about, $50. I think it's worth every penny.
So that's right in the same vein as the Absolutes, too, right? Aren't they around $50 or $60 yeah, bucks somewhere in that vein?
And the other good thing about this, too, also is they're it's oversized. So right. it's larger. I don't know what percent. It's some percent larger than we are used to in the past. Okay. And it's absolutely a fantastic purchase, a fantastic addition to your comic book library collection. Hellboy Volume 1 from Dark Horse. It's bangerifically exciting, sir.
All right.
I can't wait to take it this weekend and shove it in that little Muppet's face and tell him to sign it for me.
Got a lot of anger and hate.
No.
Maybe you should ask him to do a Hellboy sketch in the cover of it.
Ha, ha, ha. Oh, you are a hoot, you are.
All right, just to clarify and hit it home, Flash Gordon Volume 1 trade paperback by Dark Horse came out 2003, and I guess they've been coming out since then. Retail price of $19.95.
What is that reprinting? Is that reprinting the
Mac
paper
Raboys?
Yeah, the Raboys.
Oh,
from,
wow.
From 48 through 67 is how long he was tied to Flash Gordon. I don't know how far Volume 1 goes, but...
So it starts at 48?
Yeah.
Because I know that strip is older than that.
Yeah, it does start after the story's begun. It does kind of throw you in the middle.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if
they might only have, maybe they only have rights to years or certain artists.
Or copies.
Well, that's true.
I mean, there's probably that issue as well. You know that art ain't probably nowhere.
No. No, I'm sure not.
But to go and look at those books, they're beautiful. Just to look at the line work. Oh, it's amazing.
I'd love to check them out, man.
I want to give a thumbs up, barely, to Toy Fair.
Now, are you feeling okay?
I am feeling
I know it's your
okay.
birthday. I know it's our 100th episode. You got kind of like this emotional high going on. But you're giving kudos to Toy Fair.
Yeah, I am. It is focused largely on toys. There are a couple of things that are kind of meh. But by and large, I think it's a good issue. So I'm gonna say good job to the fellows over at Toy Fair. And I'm gonna say this as well. On the last page, it says Toy Fair at Toy Fair, and it's some humorous photographs, if you will, of the editors of Toy Fair. Our pal Zach Oat.
Is that the picture you took, sir, at the Lego party?
Yeah, it is right there, at the bottom. picture of Zach Oat in the Lego Indiana Jones standee, if you will.
Do they give you photographer credit?
No, I do not give photography credit in this magazine. I may have to consult my lawyer. I'm just saying, maybe. It's possible I might have to consult somebody. I don't know. But that said, not a bad issue. Certainly an issue worth checking out if you'd like to see my photography skills. And there are a few, there's a nice Indiana Jones collectibles over the year and stuff that's coming up. That article I thought was very good. The incoming section, of course, features a lot of things that you're going to want to see.
Okay.
And I don't want to tip my hat on what that is. There's also a fabulous little customizing 101, make a kit-bashed figure the sleazy way with Suckadelic's Bootleg Master. Tells you how to make, your own sort of booty action figure there, and how you can how you basically can get your Star Wars army going on the cheap.
All right. Well, that's good.
That's the way I'm going to use it.
All right.
I'm just saying.
I have one more thing. Do you have any more things? No? I wish Mike Abyss was here because, you know, maybe he would have interest in this. But
damn,
that being
Mike
said,
Abyss.
Of course, you can cue up that stinger now.
Okay.
Movie!
And there it is.
All right, so IDW is going to be putting out a comic book later this year that's going to bridge the first Transformers movie and the upcoming sequel.
I see.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
So there will have been plot in between the first two.
There will have been plot.
Of course, there was a plot in the first movie.
Thank you, Jamie.
No problem.
So there was plot. You could tell the robots apart. Oh, wait, no.
You know, that's not very
Can
nice.
I ask you a question?
You can.
We're friends, right?
No. No.
It's a great lead-in.
Yes, we're friends. Watch.
Are you sure we're friends?
Mostly positive.
Because, you know, we had a little thing. I want to make sure that we're still friends.
We're friends.
You need some fucking dry deodorant, sir.
Trying to say.
Look at them. Look. Hold up your arms. Yeah. Look at them pit stains.
I'm an Italian, sir. I sweat like a man beast. I can't help it.
You sweat where chimpanzees don't.
Well, that's what happens. I have hair where chimpanzees don't. So, you know, these things happen.
We're friends, right?
No, not anymore. We were friends up until that.
I'm just saying. That's why I feel like our relationship, that I can tell you that it's time for you to maybe switch
all right,
it up.
Well, thanks for sharing.
I'm just saying.
With the world.
It's not that hot in here. This is not, it's too darn hot.
It's temperate.
Episode.
No, it definitely is not a too darn hot episode.
Episode 3.
That's
coming. But
I'm looking for one of those, though.
I'm sure that one's coming down the line.
All right, I think we need to take a break.
Let's take a break. Okay. We'll come back with a couple of things for episode 100, and then we'll get the flock out of here and go have some birthday dinner for me.
Yummy.
And with that, fantastic, if you'll cue the commercial spot that fills this place.
Just shut up now.
Welcome to the Nerd World Order!
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds, N-E-R-D-Z.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds Rule! You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at nerdzrule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds Rule!
Should old acquaintance be forgot?
This is Vicious Smith, a.k.a. Agent Smith, a.k.a. the love child of Iron Man and War Machine. And I just want to say happy 100 to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Yeah, that's all I got. Peace.
And we are back on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. A very special...
Wait,
something's twittling.
Yeah, there's some sort of interference going on.
Not the best producer in the business for no reason, folks.
That's right.
So now that the hum has been solved by Fantastic, thank you very much. Of course, no time, no problem, rather. We want to spend a few minutes talking about a game that we've actually been talking about amongst ourselves, but not on the show.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know. It just kind of happened.
Fell by the wayside, as
yes, fell by the wayside. It's from a little company that you might know as Rio Grande Games.
Do we like Rio Grande? I don't
remember.
Oh, okay.
Well, we certainly do with this game. it's called Carcassonne, which is
like
French for Carcassonne. It's by Klaus Jürgen Riedi.
It sounds like a pastry that I would like to have with some jelly.
It's basically some city in France, some region in France, or something that's occupied or something. It's kind of a tile game. Where you're placing the tiles, and the tiles are like an overview, like a bird's eye view, if you will, looking downward on this particular piece of land.
With everybody right? submitting okay. and giving up.
Right.
Because it's France.
And exactly. And there's wow. each of the tiles, and there are many, they are placed face down, and the player is able to select the tile and then places the tile in accordance to the tiles, kind of the way the tiles go. So in other words, if there's a piece of a city on it, then it has to hook with another piece of a city, piece of a road, piece of a river, and so on and so forth. And manipulation of these tiles, well, not manipulation, but through placement of the tiles and through other pieces, if you will, there are pieces that represent farmers and so on and so forth. You try to build up your little area of Carcassonne to gain points, and that's how you win the game.
Yes.
That could be the most retarded thing I have ever said on this program.
You know, I was just letting you go with it. I wasn't going to stop. I was just having fun. Listening.
But it is a fabulous game. And the base game, which now comes with the first expansion called The River, allows you to create the expansion, rather. It allows you to create this river, and then you build off of the river the land in which you're playing the game. And there are cities to be built, roads to be built, and so on and so forth. But then they started coming out with these awesome expansions.
Would you like the description from the Rio Grande Games website?
Well, sure.
A clever tile-laying game, the southern French city of Carcassonne is famous for its unique Roman and medieval fortifications.
So far, I'm correct.
100%.
The players develop the area around Carcassonne and deploy their followers on the roads, in the cities, in the cloisters, and in the fields. The skill of the players to develop the area will determine who is victorious.
Ah.
They make it sound like it's much more dramatic than it actually is. I mean, playing the game
it's
is
really
fun.
It's really kind of, okay,
but
I put
victorious,
this here.
Is that really
no,
the vibe?
No. It's not really, there's no sort of combat involved in it. It's more of a...
That'd be great,
though. It's more of a, what would you call it? Like a developmental sort of business game.
Yeah, it's much more strategic and...
Planning.
Yeah.
It's like a planning game, you know.
It's like chess if they all just met in the middle.
Yeah, sort of.
Let's play Carcassonne with, like, minis.
They actually come with little wooden dudes.
No, I mean like, you know.
Like painted minis?
Yeah.
Like Warhammer?
Yeah, like duke it out.
That would be funny, actually. Let's
take
about
over that city, bitch.
Build terrain and have the whole
yeah.
thing. I see where this is turning into a much geekier, longer afternoon.
Well, see? It's
oh,
my
exactly.
job.
Exactly. Let's talk about the expansions. I just got an expansion I didn't have called Traders and Builders. The expansion takes Carcassonne to new dimensions. I'm reading it off the box. Which enables builders to place extra tiles, allowing city and roads to grow faster. A pig, properly placed, can enrich the value of a farm. And there's all sorts of 24 land tiles, 20 trade good tiles, 6 builders, 6 pigs, 1 cloth bag.
And a truffle.
And a truffle.
Et cetera.
And I wish it came with a truffle. How much fucking truffles are, dude? Like $40 a pound? Fuck that.
They're so good, though.
But, dude, fucking $40 a pound? Dude, I had to watch Top Chef. And, well, anyway. Carcassonne. Traders and Builders is one of the expansions. Do you, yes?
You also have Inns and Cathedrals.
Inns and Cathedrals.
Abbey and Mayor.
And some of these are kind of, you kind of get the point from the title.
Yeah.
So, Inns and Cathedrals, you're able to build inns, you're able to build cathedrals.
Ah.
Dun, dun, dun. And these, of course, affect the point values of other things. Cathedrals will affect the point value of your cities, where inns will affect the point value of your roads. So it's all a matter of very strategic planning and placing. What else we got? Abbey and Mayor.
Right, which obviously adds cities that are big enough or countrysides that are big enough to elect their own mayors, and I guess you
right.
get a special amount of points based on having
right.
said mayor. And abbeys aren't they just bigger versions of cathedrals, essentially? Something along those lines? Or they work
something,
in conjunction
no,
with
no,
cathedrals?
No, abbeys work a little bit differently in the game, but without getting into much detail, it's another way in which you can expand your point value at the end of the game when you're tallying up. We should say also, Traders and Builders, Abbey and Mayor, specifically those two, come in a larger style box. They retail for about $15. Let's talk about some of these, my friend. The little tiny Carcassonne expansions.
Toolboxes.
Yeah, like the River 2, Scout and King. And the Count of Carcassonne
Ooh.
Are in the mini tiny
Jerry Lewis.
Ice.
Mini, tiny, little box. They come with only a handful of tiles. River 2 comes with 12 tiles. And they retail for about $6 a piece. And it's just a fantastic full expansion into the game in a tiny little box.
Isn't that cute?
I think it's cute. And, of course, they all enrich the game in very purposeful and interesting ways. It's not simply another group of tiles. It's actually each one has a different, unique way that will slant the game.
Okay.
And I think that's fascinating.
Now, how natural do you remember the new rules? Because I've played games that they add an expansion, and then some of the rule sets that they add, you're like, all right, now I have to remember an entire new scheme of things.
Well, I say the rules generally stay the same, but with the new expansions come new types of cards, right. New types of scoring. And with that, of course, you're going to have some new type of rules. But I don't think there's anything, A, I don't think there's anything that drastically changes the basic rules of the game. And B, I don't think there's anything that is so entirely complex. That said, it is a bitch of a game to score at the end. You know, you will have some time scoring the game at the end of the game, especially if you play with all these expansions.
All right, so I think what we have to do is figure out a way to take Carcassonne, all the expansions, and mesh it into a campaign setting of Pirates of the Spanish Main. Have some huge, ginormous world.
You know, that could easily be done.
I know it could be done. But it is all land, but you could easily have a little creative engineering. You could have water based pieces,
all right,
where the ships pull into port. You're supplying the ships with supplies. It becomes a whole campaign setting.
Let's say this.
I think about these things while I'm trying to sleep at night. It's very bad.
Does it help?
Let's talk about this. Would you like to be part of our huge Pirates of the Spanish Main weekend extravaganza? If you're on the East Coast, send us an email. We might be able to find you a slot. There's going to be some special guest players in that game coming up this spring. Should I say who it is?
Sure.
Pete Abrams from Sluggy Freelance. Jamie Manhattan from In His Likeness.
Wow.
There's going to be a lot of people playing in our super duper deluxe Pirates game, and you can be part of it. Go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Let us know you're interested. If you want to come down, you can certainly join us for a fun-filled day or two of Pirates of the Spanish Main and all of its appropriate expansions. And how will we work Carcassonne into that? I don't think that weekend, but I think we should work on that just as a thing.
All right. In addition to Carcassonne, the board game. Is it a board game?
Yeah, it's a tile game.
It qualifies as a board game?
I say tile game.
A tabletop game, you know.
All right, a tabletop game. I'll give you that. In addition to that, there is an online version of Carcassonne, correct?
Yes.
And Xbox Live is going to be offering this as well. To mark the 5th anniversary of Xbox Live, Microsoft will be offering Carcassonne free to all subscribers.
That was last year, I think November 15th of 2007.
Oh, I thought that was November 15th coming up.
No, that was last year. It was the 5th anniversary of
bollocks.
Xbox Live, and for 48 hours you could download it for free. I think it was around $10 in Microsoft points. They also gave 500 free Microsoft points to people who were on Xbox Live since its inception. I downloaded it. I played it. And I did so for the express purpose of trying to give a board game another chance without having to learn complicated rules, do tallying and bookkeeping and all this. And I got to admit, it was still pretty freaking complicated.
All right.
It makes you think.
It does make you think, and I did enjoy playing, but there's a tutorial mode, and it teaches you how to calculate how many points you get depending on where your serfs are, whatever you want to call those people. And it was pretty complicated. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'll be able to envision, you know, how I'm doing before I place these guys down.
Hey, you know,
fantastic.
It ends up
being you're just dropping them randomly.
You know, fantastic. It's okay if you're great at shoot 'em up games and not strategy games. That's okay.
I think I've had to.
The world needs that. The world needs ditch diggers too. So
wow,
that's
rough.
Speaking of digging a ditch, where's the show going?
We're gonna wrap up our Carcassonne segment, and
Thank
then
God.
We're going to talk to Jamie Bonhatten about In His Likeness.
Alrighty.
And with that, I think we'll take our next break, and we'll be right back with that segment.
Oodalolly.
On episode 100 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Ah,
Hello, dear listener, Kev here. When I'm looking for the absolute best in action figure news and entertainment, I look no further than action-figure.com. They have the latest news, information, pictures, and exciting stuff that I'm looking for. Once again, that's action-figure.com. Go there today.
Sorry, Adrian.
That's all right. Has anybody told him that his British accent is just, like, really terrible?
You should have heard his African-American.
God blimey!
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind?
Hey, this is Brian Jude wishing Kev, OG, and Fantastic a happy 100th episode. I've known both Kev and OG for well over a decade now, and I'm really proud of what they've done with this show. I'm a big Star Wars geek myself and a sci-fi fan in general. Never really got into comics or games so much, but I think that listening to their show gives me some sort of education so that should the topic come up with some of my other geek friends, I can at least have the tiniest clue as to what they're talking about. I love getting all the updates on all things geek, and the banter between Kev and OG is always entertaining, and that's why I'm a fan of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So congratulations, guys. Please keep the geek stuff coming. And if you don't mind, I'd like to give a shameless plug to digitalcafetour.com, where you can catch tons of great live indie concert videos and even download some of them to your iPod or iPhone. So check out digitalcafetour.com. That's digitalcafetour.com. Congratulations, guys.
And we are black. Back.
No, no, we said we weren't doing that, sir.
Ow.
You deserve that hit. Hit you again.
Fantastic is resorting to violence.
That's not the first time.
I don't think you should do that racist humor anymore.
It wasn't me. It was all you.
You wrote this segment.
Our segments are not pre-written, you silly goose.
What was
you
reading? We are. yeah. What's that?
What were you reading then?
I was reading In His Likeness, a comic strip. By Jamie Steinhatten, and he's here with us tonight. And how's it going, Jamie?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, guys.
So tell us something about the strip.
It is a webcomic. Updates 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. It is a minimalist jaunt of the world through the eyes of the gods.
That's a good way to put it. I like that, minimalist.
So
jaunt.
You're a polygamist.
Not in the strip, per se.
Okay.
Outside of the strip, send emails. But
wait, polygamist, that's not right, is it? What's the person who believes in multi-gods?
That's
polytheist.
Polytheist.
Oh. So you're... anyone could confuse those.
We flew Jamie in from Salt Lake City.
Yeah. I'm a Mormon.
Polytheist.
Yeah.
So you're polytheist in the strip.
Yes. The strip is polytheistic. God and the devil, as well as... Now there's Poseidon and the god of the internet. He speaks in
my favorite
horrible leet speak. I've more recently introduced the Egyptian entire pantheon of Egyptian characters, and the most recent one, we had the idol contest where one god was given charactership in the strip, Baron Samedi from the voodoo.
Actually,
gods.
You know, you're missing one. I think.
Which one?
Well, isn't Chris a god now?
Chris, formerly just a cosplayer who died, is now a god. He is the god of the unredeemable zombie.
See? I like Chris. It's a good character.
Okay. Go just on.
No, it's his strip. No, I was just,
tell me more about what you like.
I was just chiming in that Chris was the most recent god.
He is the most recent, actually. You're correct.
Jamie, I have some requests for future gods.
All right.
I'd like to see the Forgotten Realms pantheon, as well as possibly, I'm thinking, Grumsh. You know the orc god, Grumsh?
Okay.
Yeah, I was hoping you weren't going to say the Cthulhu or Newhonian mythos, because, you know, fucking E. Gary, the dead, got in trouble for publishing those in a book. I'm just saying, you might want to steer away from the Cthulhu mythos.
Really? Funny enough, then I'll stop writing that book. I'm not kidding.
Oops.
Yeah.
No.
Don't you remember that controversy from your youth?
That was original D&D.
Demigods?
In the D&D era stuff, but now Cthulhu is public domain, so everybody can use him.
That's really?
Him.
Yeah.
Yep. I didn't know that.
That's sure what, be.
Well, that would explain all the toys and plush say, that are coming
Cthulhu
out.
Cthulhu slippers out there.
Why did he become public domain?
I don't know the specifics of it, but I do know that I'm writing a freaking Cthulhu book.
Wow, that's awesome. We should just write a Cthulhu book, too.
I want to write a Cthulhu book.
No, and that's like a really awful one. Like Cthulhu it becomes a circus clown or something. It's like just terrible Cthulhu ideas. That's what we need to do.
Terrible Cthulhu ideas is that entire company's marketing scheme. Cthulhu oven mitts, Cthulhu slippers, right? What is that company that does all of those?
Toy Vault.
Toy Vault, yeah.
Hey, Geek Stuff listener. Do you have a terrible idea that we can use in our Cthulhu book? Why don't you head over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, drop us a line, let us know what your terrible Cthulhu idea is.
What's funny is that my Cthulhu book that I'm currently working on, don't look for it anytime soon, is actually specifically about Cthulhu going public domain.
Oh.
Oh, really?
He goes public domain and God and the devil now have to deal with him. And that's the whole bit of the story.
I was actually going to ask, are God and the
that's
devil
awesome
involved
because,
in that?
Because now that you've given our entire audience that idea, you had best write that book quicker.
Very true.
It's motivation.
That's fair. When I sit down to write a book, I tend to finish it within the, you know, well, I have one.
Decade.
So. But yeah, in his likeness has spawned 3 comic books aside from the original strip online. Viva Las Vegas, which is where God decides he wants to give the world a miracle, and the only thing he can think of is to give them a giant robot, because he figures that's what people want. And so the Devilettes and the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse heist it, so it's part Ocean's 11, part Gojira battle. And then there's the 2 choose-your-own-adventure, Meph, one of the devil's little minions, the Devilettes, choose-your-own-adventure books. He's a detective, and I introduce new characters in those as well.
And who published those?
Those would be all self-published.
All right. So you can come and meet Jamie at his next appearance, which will be where?
Pittsburgh Comic-Con, the weekend of the 25th, 6th, 7th.
Of?
April. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
April.
Really?
Yes.
That's next weekend, Pittsburgh?
Yep, right
Damn,
after New York.
Man, we can't ever go to Pittsburgh.
And then he's in May after that, so you got a busy couple of months.
What's he doing in May?
Balticon, right?
Yes, that's a science fiction convention. It is Balticon 42, which is great. Their ghost of honor is Douglas Adams.
Oh, really?
Very nice.
Interesting. Who are their live guests? Do they have any live guests,
I'm
OG?
Sure someone can...
I'm sure I could find out.
Well, while OG
Connie
looks for
Willis,
the live guests.
Musical guest of honor, Urban Tapestry, artist guest of honor, John Jude Planeker, and others.
Yes, so others. Good. And is that it for your upcoming appearances? Are you going to San Diego?
No, I've yet to do San Diego as a professional.
Ah, I see.
It's a bit expensive to get out there.
Fantastic. Something?
Jamie, I want to know if we'll ever see notable atheist Richard Dawkins in any of your strips. Is that possible?
Maybe not Richard Dawkins specifically. There's been talks of a possible atheist god. It's been one of those things that's been on my drawing table. As I move closer to Strip 500, the atheist guy will not be appearing, but there will be a big surprise.
And my other favorite atheist, of course, is Douglas Adams. Yeah. So I'd like to see both of them tag team the devil and God and see who wins.
See, Douglas Adams, he's an easy circle, because for those who don't know the strip, it's all done in dots. I don't draw. As a matter of fact, I really can't. So I decided I'd work with circles. Douglas Adams would be easy. The green circle with the tongue flapping out, that's done.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of easy, one.
Wow.
Wasn't Richard Dawkins, wasn't he the host of Family Feud?
He was the host of Family Feud.
He surely was.
Really?
Yes.
Thought I was being funny.
That was Louis Anderson.
No, before Louis Anderson.
Wasn't it Dawson?
Richard Dawson. Yeah that's it.
Oh,
not
oh,
Dawkins.
Oh, all right.
Fantastic sprinting to the
microphone.
No, because
surprisingly, 2 of my heroes in life are number 1, Richard Dawkins, and then number 2,
Richard
Dawson.
Dawson.
For the very reason that he's kissed every woman that he's ever want to kiss, as well as the ones he didn't want to kiss.
So is Bob Barker.
But
and Bob Barker helped the dog and cat population stay low.
But Bob Barker is not one of my heroes.
He doesn't have the panache of Dawes, Dawkins, whatever the hell his name is.
Dawes?
Dawson, whatever his name is. That
Who's
guy.
Dawes?
I don't know. I was another variation on the last name. Me fucking up as normal.
Jamie Hatton's In His Likeness. You can check that out at inhislikeness.com.
Yes, and or you can go to one of the... I buy domain names randomly.
Okay. Okay.
I'll go on Kick. So now you can buy in.wetrust.com.
Nice. Which
nice. That's the new push where I'm trying to get this viral and trying to get it moved into like every little corner of the world.
Now in Dot We Trust, this is what's on the new t-shirts,
yep,
as well. Is that correct?
They are debuting at Pittsburgh. I always try and debut one new thing at Pittsburgh, and that's the new thing. It's in Dot We Trust, big bold white letters with the devil dot right in the center.
Oh, that's so awesome. And when can we expect ours?
Well, you can expect yours. You coming to Pittsburgh?
No.
Then you have to wait till the next order comes through. I get my next shipment.
Oh, see? I see. I see how it works.
Yeah.
And let's make sure we pull that commercial.
For
a little time until, say, the next order comes in.
Well, I think my phone's ringing.
Oh, is it?
No. He's gonna go.
It's your birthday today too, isn't it?
It is my birthday today.
Is there
as
anyone
well.
Here whose birthday it isn't?
It's not my birthday.
Okay, not OG, not Puppet Disaster, not Mike of His Prime, not
Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic. Right. Okay. Good.
It is their unbirthday.
It is their unbirthday.
In His Likeness, Jamie, check out the strip. Call us. Let us know what you think.
Call us,
I mean
is that
email.
A new feature?
That is, it is episode 100. All the new features are going to start rolling out now. So
so you mean like July?
No.
Teasing them now, but they'll become active in July.
Seriously, man.
All right.
I say we're going to do something good at Comic-Con, or we did something good at Comic-Con, depending on when you're listening to this, and then that's going to be like something that we do.
Okay.
I don't know what I just said.
Maybe we should end episode 100 and get some food into your birthday gut.
Let us take a break, and we'll come right back with the wrap-up.
Okay.
Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
Give me a sign. Hello out there. Everyone in Geekland, yeah, that's you. I mean you. This is Daddy Fantastic. That's right. You know, Mr. Fantastic's father. I know you didn't think he had any relatives, but he does. I've been thinking the only way Mr. Fantastic is ever going to get out of that basement of mine is if this show really takes off. Yeah, he lives in the basement. We let him out to do the show, but I want him out of there permanently. So what Mrs. Fantastic and I need you to do is visit the iTunes store and subscribe to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. That's Big Kev's Geek. Yeah, you know what I mean. Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You do that by typing Geek Stuff. I know that's a little strange, but it's Geek Stuff into the search field. And then you hit some keys, and before you can say David Copperfield, you're there. It's unbelievable. It's just something really that's fantastic. Yeah, that's right. Daddy Fantastic. Also, don't forget to visit the website on the internets. The address is big. It's very big, this address. It's just so long to get it out. It's Big Kegs. What's the guy's name? Would you please tell me? What's his name? Big Kev. That's it. I knew it. BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can't miss it. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. It's not time to make one more thing. I messed up before. If you would like to hear more Big Kev's Geek Stuff, email eric.logan@xmradio.com. Don't forget.
Hey, this is Wally.
This is Decker.
And this is JD.
I want to congratulate Big Kev's Geek Stuff on their 100th episode.
I would like to congratulate them also.
Is a 100th episode worth any money?
God damn it, JD.
And we are back, and we're going to wrap this thing like quick.
All right, fine. Tonight we talked a little bit about Heath Ledger and the Dark Knight movie. Nothing's being cut, so don't worry.
Or the body bag scene.
Oh yeah, that too.
Comics to check out this week. Lone Ranger number 11 from Dynamite. Perhaponauts number 1 from Image. And War is Hell, the first flight of the Phantom Eagle by Marvel Max.
Don't forget Knights of the Dinner Table's little tribute on their cover to one Gary Gygax and not... Oatser, Haller,
Abersawn.
John Oates, sir. The joke is John Oates.
That's your joke.
Complete Peanuts, I believe it's volume 9. It covers 1967 to 1968. Introduction by John Waters. This is a fantastic retrospective on this strip. If you like strip, you're not getting it. You're just a dope. I'll say it again.
Austin Powers 4 is a maybe, and Ghost in the Shell, 3D live action something or other from DreamWorks, is maybe going to happen also.
Lots of maybes, but not a maybe. Hellboy Volume 1 is a definite. Seed of Destruction, Wake the Devil, and tons of additional material by Mike Mignola, and actually John Byrne also, who worked on Seed of Destruction. So, hardcover, oversized, slipcase, library edition of these books, finally from Dark Horse. It's something you want to check out.
Out on DVD this week, Alien vs. Predator Requiem, American Dad Volume 3, Juno, and some other stuff. Dan in Real Life. I think those are the ones we covered.
Those are the ones we covered. And we also said that Toy Fair, with the Indiana Jones cover and article within, not a bad issue. A couple of things were really cool. A couple of things, but of course, what you want to check out is Toy Fair at Toy Fair, photo retrospective in the back. And my photo of Zach Oat in the Lego stand-up, Indiana Jones stand-up thing. That's what makes the issue worth getting.
In segment 2 of tonight's show, we talked about Carcassonne ad nauseum.
Carcassonne. Yes, it's a fabulous tile strategy game that Fantastic cannot figure out. And either the online version or the actual version that we have. It comes with many expansions from Rio Grande Games. I'm sure you can Google it and check it out. Or you can go to, is it riograndegames.com? Check it out. It's worth your time and effort, I say. Expansions range from $15 down to $6. The main game is, I don't know, $30 maybe?
$20, $25, something like that.
Very good. You should pick it up. And we highly recommend Carcassonne.
In segment 3 tonight, we talked about In His Likeness by Mr. Jamie Hatton in studio with us tonight. Thank you, Jamie, for being here with us.
Thank you very much, guys, for having me.
It's been a long time coming, but you're always welcome.
Oh, I appreciate that. I will come back.
I wish he had awesome. Shown up that day that that Pete Abrams was here, because Pete Abrams said he's going to kick his ass.
Oh, he did he?
And he walked in the door. I said, I don't know. That's just what I heard.
Well, you can check the strip
Pete
out.
Pete Abrams talks a lot of smack. That's all I'm saying.
Well, all right, fine. You can check the strip out at inhislikeness.com, and Jamie will be appearing in Pittsburgh in 2 weeks.
Yes.
And then in May at the
Balticon. Which is in Baltimore, and all of the other places that I will be is on inhislikeness.com, right down the right of the page.
There you go. We want to thank everyone for being a part of Big Kev's Geek Stuff for 100 episodes. It has been a long and arduous process to get to 100 episodes. There have been a lot of ups and a lot of downs, but yet we get through it all each and every day.
That's right.
And we want to thank, of course, our pal Puppet Disaster, Jamie Hatton from In His Likeness, Mike Abyss Prime, and of course, you and I think we need to throw a special thanks to our producer, having hung in there for 100 episodes, Mr. Fantastic. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much.
You betcha, Kev.
I have two things I'd like to just say real quick. A couple episodes back, we asked for another name for the Tonner character figures or Tonner dolls.
And oh, yes.
One of our listeners wrote in on the website for something and gave us a suggestion, and that would be Doolf, D-O-O-L-F, doll or outstanding likeness figurine. So thank Doolf. You, RD410 or whoever you are. I like that.
Dolph.
And also...
Dolph's a little difficult to say.
It is a little difficult to say.
Holes.
But, and also, this will make a lot more sense after you check out all the features that we have going on for episode 100 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, but Medicom. That's all I'm saying.
Medicom, yes.
That's it.
You know what? I saw that. Let me tell you something, guy who had corrected us on Medicom. Let me tell you something. We're not sitting around here discussing how things are said. We say Kotobukiya. It's Kotobukiya. It's, you know what? It doesn't matter. Everyone knows what we're talking about. They know what we mean. And I think you need to stop being so nitpicky.
Oh, come on. He's a friend of the show.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you what's said. As we gave him our thanks, our own Mr. Fantastic began to tear and well up.
Well, you know.
And he walked out.
He did. He left.
So for the first time ever, since the last time he wasn't here,
right?
we do not have a closing word tonight from Mr. Fantastic. It's kind of anticlimactic. I know you're waiting to hear what he could possibly say on episode 100. We simply don't have it this evening. I'm sorry, but we can end with this.
And on that note, we cue the music.